For Alvan RV, this is Triple M's Rush Hour live from the San Remo Hotel in beautiful South Gippsland. Plenty going on in the AFL world, so Damien Barrett joins us.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Purple, welcome to you.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. Sounding really good down the line there. Lots of frivolity going on.
Yes.
Good crowd.
I saw Cam Pettison before.
He plays over the road.
Does Philip he? Right, Island. Philip Island.
He's a star, Jim. He's about to take over as the next coach,
by the way.
North
Melbourne and Melbourne.
Damo, you've finally broken something. I hear today that you broke this Essendon story where Paul Brasher, the president, had stood down, actually before the game, the Essendon game yesterday, and there's a new president is there, Damo. And also I've got to ask you, is the coach safe, Ben Rutten? And where is Alistair Clarkson in all this?
You've summarised it up pretty well, Bill. Ben Rutten, as we speak, is staying as coach. We'll get to that in a moment. It's a holding pattern situation right now. Dave Barham, who's well known to people who have worked in TV in Australia for some time and a very highly decorated TV executive, will be the new chairman or president of the footy club. Paul Brasher will stay on the board, Bill. But, yeah, look, it's been a very, very messy 24 hours for this footy club. They decided to have a board meeting before the game against Port Adelaide yesterday. That was because of a movement of some power brokers at the club to formalise, or at least attempt to formalise, GMA, a way for the club to formally approach Alistair Clarkson. Now, that happened before the Port Adelaide game. Obviously, the manner in which that unfolded, the 84-point loss, the dreadful nature of that performance, meant they met again today, and greater and more pointy-ended conversations followed with the change in official title with the club, with Barham in, Brasher out, and the unknown as to what that means for Ben Rutten, which is where this story will get really interesting in the days to come.
So one bad performance and you just throw every toy out of the cot. That's the knee-jerk nature of what it looks like.
Not one.
You'll find the previous week, Jim, too, the GWS loss in round 21. And if you then took out the six-week patch prior to that match and go back to about the round 12 period, it was a dreadful season, and it still is a dreadful season for the Bombers. So there is no doubt, though, and people will have their own views on this, but what I can tell you is that the whole need of some people at Essendon to formally get involved in the Alistair Clarkson situation is what's driven all of this high-end drama of the past 24 hours. There's enough power brokers now who have got influence at that club to have facilitated the movements around the meetings and even the positioning and the swaying of opinions on how that looks and what happens from here. So that's where it's at. Again, the statement only a matter of minutes ago from the Chief Executive Officer, Xavier Campbell, who himself, it must be said, is under pressure, as is Josh Money, the head of football, as are several other people at the football club in football departments. But right now, Ben Rutten will stay as coach, but I expect that position to be fully investigated internally in the hours and days to come.
So, Purple, with all of this mayhem occurring, how is someone like Alistair Clarkson going to view Essendon favourably?
Jim, I believe it's ideal for Clarkson for a number of perspectives. He, when it was all said and done, when he had GWS and North Melbourne in front of him officially, while he was going to take one of them, and if you want to use the golf terminology, North Melbourne remains the clubhouse leader. Their offer is more appealing to him at this stage, the way I read it. There is more money attached to the North Melbourne offer. They were comfortable as a footy club going into the weekend about what they had done to that point in time. But it's been certainly more than mooted, Jim, strongly felt that he'd always wanted to go to a big club. The entry or near official entry of a third club into this situation, one that has greater might, greater power, greater clout, it's nothing but a bonus for Clarkson now to have a potential third club thrown into his considerations at this late stage of his own deliberations.
Very interesting, Purple, because we know North Melbourne and Essendon don't like each other.
No.
And this comes up, nor to
Hawthorn and Essendon either, Bill. So there'll be some Hawthorn people wondering what the hell's going on as well with all of that. So, look, there is so much going on in that space, and why Essendon has waited to this moment to at least put the feelers out. And when I refer to the official conversations, Jim and Bill and listeners, unofficial approaches have been made to Clarkson's people by Essendon people. Now, you know the way those conversations work. They're not real until the club acts. mates. And there, this is clearly a toe in the water from an Essendon perspective of formalising that whole process. Because there's no way he would go there while Ben Rutten is still being the man that's in the position. So, again, holding pattern the way I read it with what's unfolded today from the Ben Rutten perspective.
So that's the next thing. What does Ben Rutten do? Is his position completely untenable or where's he at?
If it's not, Jim, it must be pretty close to it. To have, you know, the whole conversation around him and the whole Paul Brasher backing of him publicly. Now, I don't claim to know what Brasher's been doing behind the scenes, but there's been some angst at this power broker level. And you know the way power brokers work at footy clubs, Jim. The constant backing of Rutten publicly and the endorsement of people who are in the positions of power to this point, that didn't work for Paul Brasher in the end. He had said prior to today that he would be leaving the post. It's been brought forward. He will be staying on the board too, which I think is interesting in and of itself. But yeah, look, this is all Alistair Clarkson driven, what has been going on with these two meetings in the past 2 days. And the most recent one only ending about 3 or 4 hours ago, Bill.
Wowee, it's big, big, big news. They've had 9 coaches in 16 years.
Yeah.
Let me read out. Sheedy, of course, a long, yes, long time. Then Gary O'Donnell, Matty Knights, James Hird, Simon Goodwin was there for one game, I think. Bomber, Matty Egan, Woosher and Ben Rutten. That's all in 16 years. So something's going to have to happen. It's and they've had a poor year. Gee, they've been disappointing. So the supporters aren't happy. Something's got to happen. And Alistair Clarkson, wowee. He was virtually over the line. That's all we heard all weekend, that he was over the line at North Melbourne, Domo.
Well, that was so comfortable, Bill, because they had felt that they had done enough to convince him over the GWS alternative. And just on that, the AFL Commission is meeting as we speak today as well in another high-end meeting in football in Melbourne today. I have a belief that the GWS Giants have wanted the ambassadorial component to their potential offer to Clarkson to be debated today by the Commission. And whether that ever is made public, I don't claim to know. But they do and want to be able to nudge, wink, wink to Alistair Clarkson's people that there will be an ambassador component to their offer, which I believe is well short, or certainly short of the financial terms that North Melbourne's reached.
All right, Purple, break with you. Some positives and negatives coming up next from the game's
more
best.
More with Damien Barrett next.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
For our van RV, we are live from the San Remo Hotel for Australia's largest range of seascape caravans. Check out ourvanrv.com.au. There's one parked right at the back here.
We just went and had a tour through it. Very nice.
A double bed and a couple of bunks, a shower, a dunny.
I had to wait for you to get out of it so that I could get into it. Not big enough. Domo, it's not big enough for two people if one of them's fat. Now, we're going to continue to talk AFL footy with you and some positives.
Yes. Yeah.
Sydney Swans are doing nothing wrong.
No, can I start, Damien? Can I start?
You can start wherever you want, Bill.
The minor premiers. I would say well done Geelong.
Yes.
Who a lot of people
Why are we talking about Geelong? We're talking about Sydney.
They're minor premiers. And a lot of people, including you, Brayshaw and Barrett, said too old, too slow.
No, I did not, Bill. Hey, take that back. In my pre-season ladder, I had them to make the grand final. So take that back, thank you.
Jomo, Sydney.
Yeah, let's go there. They may have done what Ed Langdon said Collingwood was all about only a week earlier, about being a one-trick pony and all duck, no dinner, because they were able to withstand them the way no other club had been able to do in the previous 11 weeks. And it just certainly franked what the Swans are about. Put themselves into second place. Now, with a game against St Kilda, you'd expect them to wade through that game at Marvel Stadium, no matter what team they put out in the park. And, yeah, finish second and officially confirm themselves, in my eyes anyway, which I've felt for some time, the second best team in the comp to this point.
All right, and the Tigers, speaking of teams looming large, got some very passionate Tigers in front of us here.
Yeah, they've got good reason to be passionate. I mean, Tom Lynch, I feel, is having arguably his best season of football in terms of impact. 8 goals against a depleted Hawthorn, and Emerson Jika and James Blank are nowhere near where they want to be at some stage of their careers in terms of defenders he played on. But the 8 goals he kicked are going on top of the 4 goals the previous week and the 4 the week before. His goals per average, Jim, this year is now competition best. That's inclusive of Charlie Curnow, who's leading the Coleman medal and the impact he's had in this recent three-week patch to get the Tigers out of that malaise they'd been in when they were losing matches by their own doing. The goal after the siren against the Suns, the loss to North Melbourne, the giving up of big leads against Sydney and Melbourne. So that he has helped them turn that around to the point that they're going to be the danger team that everyone thought they were always going to be if they got to the finals. They've got there now. They're going to be dangerous in that first week at least.
All right, what about the Melbourne game? Extraordinary game of footy. Jake Melcham, the Fists of Fury, yeah. And also Jaden Hunt.
Yeah, love how they were prominent, not just in the last quarter when the game had to be won on the weekend, but throughout the whole game, because they were unfortunate to miss last year, weren't they, when they were emergencies in that team that won the grand final against the Bulldogs in Perth. So they were the two players, Bill, who weren't part of the 23 from last year, who played on the most recent week just gone. And, I mean, Melksham's impact in that game was as good as he has played for the Demons full stop. And to do it in that must-win game, and it's just it's a great story for him. Another couple of positives. Ben Cunningham.
Brayshaw was pretty good too, since he's gone into the middle, which is funny.
It's coincided with him signing that contract, exactly. Hasn't it? But going back in the middle. Ben Cunnington, we discussed him this time last week in just getting through a game of VFL. Well, he's got through a game of AFL now. The words he spoke so beautifully post-match after picking up 17 touches in that return game, three clearances, about the support of his wife and the battle and the worry and the fear and the unknown that he's been through with the two bouts of cancer. And just to see him get back, it's just extraordinary. In the same game, worthy of a mention is Darcy Fogarty's form too. For the second week in a row, kick four goals, three in the last quarter, and he's now had 28 goals from round 11 onwards, and that's a really good coming of age for him in the back half of the year, and a man you've always had a lot of time for,
Ben
Bill.
Ben Cunnington, Bill was sitting on the plane with him on the way back from Adelaide to Melbourne, didn't know who he was. Only one of the all-time great players of the competition. Bill wasn't aware of who he was.
He had a beanie on.
Oh, there you are. That'll knock your
anyway,
socks off. Was that Sean Darcy?
We had a good chat, by the way, yeah. Damo.
Did you?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I can't tell you anything because we're sworn to secrecy.
Well, he's a man short of words, as a rule, Bill. So if you got something out of him, well done. Sean Darcy, yeah, the Ross Glendening medalist. And I don't think there was any issue with Roscoe's votes this year, Bill.
As well.
Yeah, I think he actually let the voters vote without getting involved in this one, Jim. So he got the Ross Glendening medal out of the Derby there, and deservedly so, because they've had a really good year. Just forget what they've done with a few matches they may have let go this year. They're coming from outside the eight last year, and look, they're a live chance on the premiership race. Just a couple of negatives before we do go. Max King's performance, the five shots at goal for no goals and five behinds. As harsh as it sounds and as hard as it is, he cost them that game, the St Kilda Footy Club in that game. So, look, they've actually doubled back now on what they said post-match via Brett Rattenbill when he said we don't need outside help. Well, they will now embrace the outside help. And I'm glad they've sorted that out after the event, it must be said, but at least they're not going to be too stubborn to allow in to his head what needs to be done now, because it's ruining what could be a far better career than the very good one it's already been for the short time he's been in the game.
He'll be okay. It'll take some time. But Lordo's going to help him out. You know Lordo pretty well. Is he going to help him out?
I don't think it'll be public if he does, Bill. I think he's made the comments himself, which have, I think, been really well explained to the layman as to what he thinks needs to be done and whether the club wants that to happen. But someone of significant nature has to help him out, because it's not just isolated to the most recent match he played. It's pretty much the four seasons he's been in the system, unfortunately. So, he needs to fix it up. Carlton, similar to St Kilda, just blew its chances themselves, didn't they, with how they couldn't maintain that 8-point lead with about 90 seconds to go. They did so much right and yet didn't get the result. Having said that, I've put him in as a negative, but if they produce that type of commitment in their last and only remaining game for the year, which will determine whether they make the 8 against Collingwood on Sunday, they will get through, because I'm convinced that it's a good blueprint for them.
Damo, if you're Michael Voss and the coaching staff at Carlton, there's only so much structurally you can do. And I thought they did quite a lot right at the back end of that game. But then he's kicking the ball to ground.
Yeah.
You can't coach. Like, that destroys everything you've got structurally in place.
I think
as soon as that ball went to ground, then the game's up for grabs.
Because Saad would have also hit someone else, wouldn't he? Had he had more time to take the mark and work out what he wanted to do. And I think you're right, Jim. That's where the game was lost. And as harsh as it was before that we outlined Max King's role in the St Kilda loss, I mean, it probably was. While there are other moments, the Matt Owies kick, the bounce to Adam Saad at that late stage, the 3-on-1 against Jake Melksham contested mark didn't help either, did it? Late in the piece.
No,
but having said that, it was just a problem of their own doing. Worried about Collingwood. I don't want to be too dramatic for a team that had won 11 in a row and was competitive, more than competitive against Sydney. And had Brody Mychek not been tackled by Dane Rampey, who knows? They would have got it down to below 3 goals. But I'm right about him because the Dugowie injury, it's a hip flexor, and there's no guarantee that he plays against Carlton in the last game. And they may just make this smart management call to not play him, see how they go without him, but just to have him right to go in that first week of finals, because it's a dangerous injury if you try and wade through them when they're still a bit vulnerable.
To go.
All right. It might be Carlton-Collingwood this week, and then Carlton-Collingwood in 2 weeks' time. Ooh, after that.
Yeah, it could be.
Bartholomew.
Yeah, I'm happy about
look
that.
Look at you.
Carlton supporters, we got any here?
Yeah,
three. That's good, yeah.
And they're staying quiet.
Collingwood. They've been let out. Yeah, a few of them been let out for the day.
Anything as we let you go, Purple?
Oh, just someone has sent me from the crowd there. I appreciate the photo of Bill's drinking arrangements there. Yep. There's a. You mentioned that caravan only being big enough for one person, Jim, before. The stubby holder that he's managed to somehow use to insert a big pint glass in doesn't seem
concrete.
To be doing the trick.
The always concrete stubby holder.
Yes, exactly. That's a product placement, that is.
All right.
Nice.
Hey, well done, Purple.
Cheers, boys.
Damo's recovery session.